Holy Father, we ask your blessings upon the word. Bless it, O Lord, that it might bring forth the fruit that you want it to, and therein you might be glorified by it. For we ask it in the name of our precious Lord. Amen. Let's read John chapter 5, verse 40. Jesus is speaking. Search the Scriptures, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. And ye will not come to me, that ye might have life. I want you to notice that last verse there, and ye will not come to me, that ye may have life. Thank you, and you may be seated. All right. The title of my message today, based upon this scripture, is, it's your fault if you go to hell. It's your fault if you go to hell. Now, that's very important that people understand that because of the way people are. And if it wasn't important for people to understand that it's their fault if they go to hell, God wouldn't have put it in the Bible. God never put anything in the Bible but what it was important. God does not need to practice his penmanship. God did not put anything in there just to take up space. You know, sometimes when you go into school, I used to go in high school, especially, they'd say, give me a report of 200 words. Well, a lot of times I simply did not have enough material to do 200 words, but I fluffed it up. I filled it up with words anyway. That teacher got more words than she needed. I could have given her my report. She could have graded me on 100 sometimes. But she got 100 that was completely worthless because I padded that thing. And that's why I did it. Well, God doesn't do that. He never put one word in the Bible. That wasn't supposed to be there. That's not necessary. That is not needed. Because the Lord doesn't do that. He's not man. He's God. That's what's so hard for us sometimes to understand, because we relate and we have fellowship with, and we're in contact with, and we socialize with other human beings just like us. I know a lot of folks that talk a lot of times when they completely run out of something to say and just keep talking anyway. Running out of something to say does not stop a good talker. They go right ahead and just keep on anyhow, you see. They come up with something anyway. But anyway, God's not that way. Now, our text that we've looked at this morning is not the words of an ordinary man or human being. And by ordinary, I mean someone like a parent, someone like a spouse, that's a husband or wife, a brother, a sister, a friend, a preacher. But these are the words of God Himself. People don't think about that when they pick up the Bible. When you pick up the Bible, you're getting ready to hear from God. Everything in there is His message. To you, to me, to anybody else who picks up the Word. And in these words today, well, they're words of God the Son, the God-man, Christ Jesus, recorded for us, because He wasn't going to be here for every generation. So He left it so we would have exactly what He said. I do not believe that there are mistakes in this Bible. God had to preserve it. He said He did. It was important. He said, don't add to it. Don't take away from it. Don't change it. He said that over and over again. And when Jesus came, He said, thy word is truth. And so the Bible said, heaven and earth may pass away, but God's word never does, never will. So I believe it's here, because the rest of these trashy books called Bibles, they certainly are not the word of God. There's no question about it. They're full of holes and Swiss cheese. And that's not the way the Lord does it. Knowing a little bit about their ancestry, I know a little bit about them. And I hope you remember that every day. But the words of the one that's doing the speaking today, as well as any other in the Bible, of course, that God's recording, because the Bible records the devil speaking. But He put in here what the devil said because He wanted us to know it. So it's His word to us. Here's what the devil said, because He wanted us to have it. But this, because these words that I've just read are the words of the most unique man that ever walked the face of this earth, the man Christ Jesus, the God-man, we ought to pay attention to what He says. We watch television. We say, shh. And what they're fixing to say on there most of the time may or may not be true. Most of the time it's not true. And it's not worth much when it comes to everyday life. I'm talking about the average program on there. But when it comes to the Word of God, you don't hear too many shh in church. You find a lot of folks doing a whole lot of other things but listening to God. But I must remind you that Almighty God is the unseen visitor in every service. He's the unseen visitor. He sees everything, hears everything, and goes a little bit farther than that, reads the very thoughts of an individual's heart easier than you can read the paper. So when God speaks, we should listen. Now, make no mistake about it. There is no question today as to whom the guilty party is when it comes to salvation. When a person refuses to believe the gospel and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ, excuse me, and trust Him to save their soul, it's the lost sinner's fault. That's what our text says. Now, people imagine they're going to get up before God and tell Him a lot of stuff. No. He's already told you before you got there because He knows what you have in mind if you're a lost sinner and how you make your plans. And He said, I'm telling you ahead of time. That stuff's not going to work. But having been a lost sinner one time and knowing a lot of them, I still know that that doesn't cut any ice with them. That doesn't make any difference. It's the lost sinner's fault. It's sinners. That's it. Lost sinners, though, you know, they'll blame people. They'll blame places. They'll blame things. They'll blame events that's happened in their life. But with no exception, every lost sinner is forewarned by Holy Scripture, like our text, John 5:40. And God has warned ahead of time. There are no acceptable excuses for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Sinner friend, our lost loved one, they're none. Now, so the best thing you can do is just come to grips with that. It's better for you to accept it now. Because if you go into eternity in that condition, with that frame of mind, I can tell you before you ever stand before God, your case is lost. And you've been forewarned. It's important. People do not trust Christ to save them for such reasons as this. People want to be in control of their lives, and they want to run their own lives, and they do not want the Lord interfering. Now, that's why God saves men and calls them to preach, because they understand the lost sinner. Here it is. You're lost. There's a reason why you reject Christ. You're not kidding me. Everyone's ever been lost knows there are some things there that come into you. And one of them is you want to be in control of your life. You want to say how it's run. You don't want the Lord interfering. You don't want Him to tell you what to do. You don't want to have to be under authority. You're a rebel. But the Bible says that the only time you'll ever become a free person is when you're saved, because now you're a servant of sin, you're a servant of your own lust, you're a servant of the devil. The Bible says all of this. And only when we become born-again Christians and belong to the Lord Jesus Christ are we free at last. You see, because that's the way man started out, walking with God. He was free. You see, people talk about being free today, they're talking about being slaves. We know how they used to talk about free love, and what they were talking about was being slaves of their sexual desires, of fornication and adultery. And God said, that's pure old slavery. That's the worst kind of life you can live, is a life of a slave. But when you're saved, you become a child of God and a servant of the Lord, and you're free. And to the extent that you live that life obediently for Christ, you experience the blessings of freedom. Well, you say, it doesn't look that way. Well, that's all right. It doesn't make any difference. Sin has so affected man till he can't see clearly. The Bible said man's understanding is darkened. And God has to lighten it up, and He does that by saving it. And then the Holy Spirit, through the Word of God, puts some light on the subject. And we begin to see things from the proper perspective. You think you know it all this morning? You think you got a good grasp? You don't. You don't. You don't. That's what sin's done for us. Now, dear people, this morning, people say they reject Christ. They want to be in control of their lives. They want to run their lives. They want to go where they want to go, do what they want to do, with whom they want to do, how they want to do it, when they want to do it, where they want to do it, so forth. They do not want to be bound. You see, in the book of Psalms, the second Psalm, it said, men rose up against Christ to throw off His bands. Let us break His cords asunder, they said. Let's get rid of these walls. Let's trample them under. Let's bring Him down and let's get rid of His Word. We don't want to be bound by these. Those are the words of a sinner. We don't want to be bound. But they're bound by sin. They don't understand. Man was not created to be just neither under the bondage of sin and Satan or to be serving the God. Did it have to be under one? Man was not created to be a middle of the roader. He never has and never will be that. Now, dear people, there are some folks who actually use the very unacceptable excuse that they don't understand what the Bible says. Now, you know, ignorance is not incurable. Ignorance is curable. I wish cancer was as curable as ignorance was. That'd be a wonderful thing, wouldn't it? But some people say, well, I'll tell you what, when I read the Bible, you know, I'd like to be saved, but I don't understand what the Bible says. That's fine. Just how many times do you go to somebody's house during the week who knows the Bible and have them sit down and explain it to you? And what are you interested in? Are you interested in who Cain's wife was? Well, how much difference in your life would it make if you knew who Cain's wife was and knew her first name was Bobby Sue and knew that her last name was Smith? How much change in your life would that make? Zero. What you want to do is sit down and somebody start from scratch and tell you how you stand with God and what condition your soul is in and what condition your future's in. You need that. That's the last thing a lot of people want to hear. Who's the Antichrist? Says the lost man. That's not your first problem. Well, what's going to happen tomorrow? What's going to happen next day? I mean, I don't understand the Bible. Listen, you know, the first thing that a lost person needs to understand is what condition they're in, what the Lord has done so that He might save them out of that condition, and the hope to put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. That's the first thing. And that's what the Bible says. Look at the Great Commission. First, take the gospel to them that might be saved. Secondly, once they've made a profession of faith, baptize them, where they declare, among other things, their faith and trust in Christ and that they've died to the old life. And the third thing, all things, teach them to live an obedient life to God. All that last part, you know, the lost world knows that. They know that. They know that. Wife this week and I were watching a commercial on television. And we were watching these ladies on this commercial cry on blue jeans. And you've seen those commercials. Those ladies put on the jeans. And they strut their stuff. And they look in the mirror. And they don't just look at their face in the mirror. In fact, when they put on jeans, they don't look at their face at all. They look at the same part of their body the men look. Uh-oh! You're supposed to be stupid, you know. In order to enjoy television, you're supposed to be stupid. You see? And I said to my wife, one thing about it, the world doesn't hide anything. I mean, they just come out and it's there. I mean, there it is. Now, you take a backslidden Christian woman, and she'll make all kind of excuses about all this and all that. And there, you smell them. They stink so bad, they smell worse than poison. Those excuses. Just come on and say, I profess to be a Christian, but I like for the men to look at me as I walk down the street and lust after me. I like to tease them. Now, see, that doesn't go over too well. That doesn't go over too well. But I'm going to tell you right now, just smile at me, ladies, and I won't know I rang your bell. Just smile. Keep smiling is the best way to throw me off guard. But you better do a real one, because I know those fakey ones. Okay? All right. So people say, I don't understand what the Bible says. That's strange. I've been around a long time. I almost said to Noah, "You sure that ark's going to be built enough, big enough to build it?" Of course, I wasn't there. But I've been around a good while, you see. And I know people and I understand people. And I have never, to my knowledge, had anybody look me up and said, I had a man stop me one time in the middle of the boulevard and he wanted to know something, but that's about the closest country. Never said, "Look, preacher, I need badly for somebody to sit by the Bible and straighten out this matter of my spiritual condition. And I wonder if you could work me in." Nope. Nope. Because I'm going to tell you something right now, folks. If you do it right, unless people have been sitting under the Word, you have to almost start from scratch with them in salvation. That's it. Folks don't have time. Remember, people are heading at the speed of a second hand into eternity, which is timeless, and they don't have time in this world to get ready for that. Makes sense, doesn't it? Clear the bell. They say, "Man, he split the atom four ways." I don't care. He's as stupid as he can be when it comes to the Bible and his salvation most of the time. And if he isn't, it's because he sat down with the Word of God and the Holy Spirit to work through the Word to enlighten him, and he's got it right. Men, I don't care how high an education they get, they don't get a bit smarter. Some of the most ungodly, unbelieving people that's ever lived have been lost people. You can have 12 PhDs and still die and go to hell. I'm amazed. I'm amazed. But then there's some people, you know, that say, they aren't really convinced that there's life after death. Mm-hmm. I don't really know. You know, I thought about it, and I think we might be just like the animals. Yes, but deep down inside, you hope that's the way it is. But it's not true. Because an animal is an animal. Anybody with just common sense can see an animal is an animal, and a human being is a human being. If you bring Rover in here and sit him down in here, nothing in here is going to interest him. You run a rabbit by him and you'll see. I hope to goodness this morning if a rabbit happened to run through this auditorium, none of you take off after him like a dog going, "You, roof, roof, roof." You're a human being. People say, "Well, I think it's just, you know, I don't think there, I'm not sure, it's not true. I don't know whether actually life after death." Well, what if you had a book that never had been wrong on anything it told you, past, present, or future? Would you believe that book? Don't you see how important the Bible is in this world today? Don't you see why the devil has zeroed in on it in these days to create doubt about whether it's correct and this word should be here and that word shouldn't be there and this is over here and that's over there? Well, my dear people, if you take a compass and a man's getting ready to go out into a wilderness where he's never been and you'll mess up his compass, that man will. You'll not see that man again. He'll be lost and he'll stay lost. The devil knows what he's doing. I know preachers, you know, and I know scientists that are saved, and they can do some pretty good preaching. But they're also preaching out of new Bibles, corrupt Bibles. And so at the same time, they're sowing some good seed, they're sowing some contaminated seed, and in the end, they're helping the devil push his program. And when they're dead and gone, he will have gotten that Bible they're preaching out of in the hands of people. And the truth that he preached that he's getting raised up in and learned from the King James Bible, the authorized version, they'll be snowed under. You see? That's what they don't understand. It bothers me. But you can be sure there's an afterlife. Some people say, "Well, now I know it is because this fellow said he died and came back again. I knew it was so before he ever did that, and I got a question that he did it." They come back and they, you know, it's like they've been vaccinated with CD player. Their mouth just running and telling about everything that they've seen, everything. And Paul said, I know a man, and he's talking about himself. And he said, just caught up into the third heaven, he heard things that could not be uttered. He couldn't say. Now, I look at Paul and I believe Paul. I look at these people that come back in their mouths just like their tongue's tied in the middle and loosened on both ends. And I say, there's something wrong here. You look in your Bible. It does not take Lazarus and say, Lazarus died and Lazarus went to heaven. And when Lazarus got to heaven, here's what he said. He goes about a chapter in there telling you all he saw. He did. Why didn't God put that in there? I said sometimes, well, I'd love to expound it a little bit on it. Why? What difference would it make in my life? It's just old human curiosity. You see, that's all it was. Wouldn't help me a bit in the world. Wouldn't it all? And so here, people, there is an afterlife. There's no question about it. And then you see, I don't mean afterlife and like they're ghosts wandering around. I've never seen the like on television today, man. They are, everywhere you tell you, they're out there hunting for ghosts. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now. If you believe the Bible, you know they're not going to find any ghosts. And if you believe they found some ghosts, you better straighten up and check your spiritual life because you know better. If they find anything out there and somebody, they actually hear a voice, if they actually hear a voice, it's an evil spirit imitating their mama and their daddy. And the Bible tells us the devil is an imitator.
That's right.
So you get away from that. Well, people never learn, so they take their hard-earned money and give it to these people. I'm going to go talk with mama. And they're charlatans. And if they're the real thing, dear people, you really don't want to deal with them there. And if they're crooks, you certainly don't want to give them your money. I mean, I'm with them like I am by the casino. Ha, ha, ha. Come on down and have fun. What? Come on down and bring that check for $700, $800 and blow every penny of it here and have a big time and leave here without even money to buy gas to get back home. It was a big time, wasn't it? Uh-uh. No, it really wasn't. No, but I tell you what, you go to church, you hear preaching and singing and going on and you have a good time. It's the kind of time you can go home, you can drive straight. You can enjoy the day. You don't have a hangover. And I guarantee you knowing people, you got a whole lot of your money still in your pocket. Because you're not going to be as free at church as you are at the casino. You ever hear people say, I just can't wait till weekend. Now I get paid because I'm going to run down to church and I just want to give. I want to go down and play the slots. I want to go down and see what I can win. They always forget about, you never hear it like this, boy, I can't wait to go down and see how much I glued this week. Go down and have fun. I tell you, you have more fun than that, just take your whole hand, go down to the bank, get you a whole lot of quarters and 50 cent pieces, and get you a bag of them, and go out there to the lake and just stand and throw them out there and see how far you can throw them. That's a lot more fun than you're losing them, but you're getting a lot more fun out of it than you are down there. Well, I'm not here to preach on gambling. But I'm here to talk about people that are lost. I'm here to talk about people that will be in hell in a short time if they don't get saved. You see, people are going to hell every day, every hour, all over this globe. And some started out this morning that will be in hell tonight. It's that serious. It's that serious. But man will get excited about a lot of things, but about his own soul, he's careless, he's blind, he's indifferent. All right, so there are some people, you know, they say, well, we don't really know whether the Bible is true or not. How do we know the Bible is true? Well, what do you know about the Bible that's not true? That's a shocking question to ask one of those people. But just what have you found in there that's not true? Well, somebody said, what'd they say? Most of the time they can't even tell it straight. See? And then you'll hear this fellow who jumps up and says, well, I'll tell you what, the Bible contradicts itself. And that is a sure mark of ignorance of the Scripture. A certain mark. You don't even have to ask that person, that man, that woman, how much they know about it. They don't know anything. Well, they said he's got a PhD. Yeah. Yeah. And Jesus told a mighty intelligent, educated man by the name of Nicodemus, you must be born again. And he didn't even understand what he's talking about. He said, can a man go back into his mother's womb again and be born all over? That was a smart dude, wasn't he? I don't know if the Bible's true. Well, I'm telling you, it's been attacked many times. Every time it's come out the winner. Have no worry about nothing. have to worry about nothing. You hear on the paper, well, they don't know whether this is true. They're just doubting this about the Bible. Don't get excited. Get you a cup of cold water or a glass of iced tea. Sit down and put your feet up and relax, because that's all the devil just stirring up a commotion. They're going to find out. Some of their own bunch will find out they were wrong. But they're not going to publicize that they were wrong as much as they publicized what they thought. But the Bible was wrong. They'll bury it somewhere, you see. Because they don't want you to know that. Just don't get excited. You see? They say, oh, they think they found water on the moon, and there probably were rivers up there, and there probably was life up there. Don't you see? Here we go again. Sure enough, I just wait around a while. Sooner or later, well, I was a dud. If I lied like that when I preached, nobody would come to hear me. Now, I wouldn't have any reputation, but being a scientist, you can lie and get caught in it, and 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 they just keep on giving you money and awards and so forth and so on, and they just keep looking at you like you're smart. That's the world, though. I've been told about the world. God tells me I used to be a part of the world system. God tells us about the world. The world. The Bible is true. Check it out which way you want to check it out. It's true. It's true. They're still catching up with the Bible today. Scientists still catching up with the Bible. Imagine that. No wonder they don't want it to schoolhouse. Kids learn to ask too many embarrassing questions. See? See? We won't get into that temptation trick, but we won't get into that. Somebody said, well, my kid got a good education. Did. How much Bible they learned? Well, nothing, because they went to public school and they didn't learn any Bible. You know, they can't have the Bible. And you dare to come out, where are you a Christian? Well, yeah, I'm a born-again Christian, love God and love His Word. You do. Would you venture so far as to say that any person is adequately educated, that God has been completely neglected and purposely bypassed in their life, and the Bible, would you say they were adequately educated? No born-again Christian who's hitting on all cylinders could believe such a thing as that. But Christians don't hit on all cylinders. They miss sometimes. You know how a car misses, don't you? There's a lot of people, you know, I mean, they're and they're Christians. They're hitting on the wrong cylinders. They're hitting on all cylinders. Let me put it that way. Now, dear people, they'll say, you know, they'll say a lot of things about the Bible. And they say this one, and we'll move on to something else. A couple of more here. They've heard the Word of God preached, and they've heard it taught, and they'll foolishly protest it. They just don't believe that a good, kind, merciful, loving God would send us someone to hell for eternity. For just one lifetime of sin. I mean, after all, it's just a lifetime of 30 years, 50 years, and they're going to be punished for all eternity? A good, loving, kind God, He wouldn't do that. He would, and He told you He would. Well, that doesn't seem fair. That's because you're sinful. You're crossed up. You're mixed up. Your understanding is darkened. That's because you're a sinner. That's because you reject the truth. That's the reason you go to hell, for all those reasons and more. You're defective. You're flawed. Born into the world that way. It's not God who's to blame. It's your fault, lost sinner. It's your fault. That's it. There are people you can believe that what God put in the book. He wouldn't be a holy God if He compromised with sin, people. He'd be unholy. We have a man up there who's present. If we have a man who's present, and that man compromises and sells out to his agencies and different outfits in this government, they said, that man's not straight, that man's not honest, that man's not straightforward. But God would be branded the same way if He didn't do it. Like He did, doesn't He? The trouble with us is we don't see sin like God sees sin. I saw a lady the other day, a dog had gotten a garbage can, strolling out across the lawn. That's a bad mess, man. I hate to get into that. That's terrible. You're picking up all that stuff. And she's picking it up. She's holding it with two fingers. And she said, "Woo!" And was walking back to the house and I said, it'd be a wonderful thing if sin smelled like that. It'd be a wonderful thing if life smelled like a dead polecat. A lie, I mean, smelled like a dead polecat. Of course, we couldn't stand each other, could we? How would it be at your house? Could you stand it? I'm just talking about a lie. That's it, huh? Just start and think of all the sins and say every one of them had a sin like something dead. Shoot. If you want to compare man to the real situation, compare man and sin to things that smell, why, man can go to sleep at night with a dead polecat that's got maggots working in him sleep with it, if you compare it to a sin. And then get mad at you if you dare to point out that he's sleeping with a dead polecat with maggots working in it. Come, believe that's my life. He's personal. But God didn't fix it like that, did he? So we don't see it that way. We don't see it that way. Well, there'll always be those, and this is the last of the excuses to move on, that'll protest, you know, that they're not that bad a person. They're not that bad a person. And it depends on whose judgment you're going by. You see, I've seen some of the plainest people that thought they were God's gift to the world, women and men. Man, I tell you what, they thought they were the best looking thing that ever hit the ground. And I looked at them and I thought to myself, boy, boy, boy. There's a poem that goes like something like this, or something like, oh, the gift of God to see us, see ourselves as others see us. My goodness gracious alive. People are that way. I mean, that when we see ourselves, we don't see ourselves as we are. That's why we have to go to the Bible. That's why people don't like to go to the Bible. The Bible tells you the truth. What's right about you, the Bible tells you what's right about. What's wrong about you, the Bible tells you what. And tomorrow it'll tell you the same thing again. And next day it'll tell you the same thing again. And it'll tell you that when you're 16. It'll tell you that when you're 76. Won't change. Won't change at all. That's why folks don't like to go there. As one man said, and this is a common saying of the world, if it's any good, it's either a sin or it'll make you fat. That's the way the world thinks, brother. That's not the way God thinks. That's not the way God thinks. Can't you just imagine someone standing before the Lord one day and say, Lord, I'm going to be honest with you. It's really your fault and not mine. Since you took me before I was ready, and later I plan to get right. Now, you say that's far-fetched? Just think a minute. That's not so far-fetched. You see? Lord, it's really your fault. You took me too early. You took me too soon. I wasn't ready. I had some things I wanted to do, but I had you planned in on my calendar, Lord. Didn't you see my calendar? But you called for me before time. No. Your time is any time. My time is any time. God doesn't care what our calendar says. But I hear somebody standing up there trying to mount such an excuse. Because they come up that stuff down here like that. Well, I got plans, you know. Yes. Yeah. It's good. You all live every day like it's your last one. And if you're living it like it's your last one, you've got some plans. The Bible has nothing against planning. But you better plan on leaving. And you better plan on being ready. And you better plan on going without notice. And besides, that's the best life in the world to live as a Christian. Because you live as a dead person serving the devil. That's not a very great thing, you know. Sin will destroy you. Sin will destroy you. Tear you down. Tear you down. Now, you can't say, Lord, it's your fault, and be telling the truth. You have to face the truth now. Lost friend, lost loved one, it's your fault. That's what our text said. Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. It's not, you can come to me all you want to, but I'm not going to save you. Go on to hell. I want no part of you. That's not the way it reads, is it? Ye will not come to me that ye might have life. There's no question about where the blame is put. So cease your foolish, sinful, and rebellious ways and turn to Christ right now if you never have. That's what the Scripture is saying here. dare you leave here today just like you came without the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Dare you? They don't have a bigger gambler at the casino than you are gambling with your soul, and nobody has as much to lose as you do. Gambling that you will have more time. What will a man give in exchange for his soul? Nothing. The answer, that's a rhetorical question. Nothing. He has nothing he can give. None. That's it. That's the whole thing. You're Christ rejection. You're a child of hell. You came to your Christ rejection. You came to your child of hell. How many times have you done that? How many more times do you think God's going to put up with that? Could you think He? What if He just decides today's the last day? He's had enough. What if He says things like that? He's perfectly within His rights to do so. Will not have wronged you one bit. See? That's something to think about. Jesus Christ shed His precious blood on the cross and all that suffering so that He could cleanse you from your sins and save you from the guilt and penalty and power of sin. And you refuse Him? He did you a favor. It's not the other way around. And if you don't think God can do without you, you better wake up. There was a time when there was nobody but God. Oh, He can get along quite well. The Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit can have a lot of fellowship together. If He's God and He needs anybody outside of Himself, He's not the God that He says He is in the Bible. For a person who needs anything is not perfect and complete. So God doesn't need man. Man needs God. Could well do without us because He has. It's a fact. It's grace to us. So now what you need to do is trust Him with all of your heart to save you. Because this is not just anybody that's warning you. This is not just anybody that's inviting you to come to Him. This is God. This is the one that says today, "Come unto Me." And if you don't, one day you'll hear that same voice in judgment say, "Depart from Me." Too late. Too late. Too late. Come today, depart tomorrow. Listen, dear people. Will the Lord say today again, as you leave here, as you refuse Him, "And ye," put your name in. "Joe, Bobby, Sue, Jane, will not come to Me that they might have life." It's that person. You fill in the blanks. You take the ye, because the ye says, you put His name in, whoever you are, will not come to Me that he or she might have life. Will the Lord say that again today? I don't know that angels talk about what we do down here a whole lot. I'm sure they do some, because I believe the Scripture gives evidence of that. But I wonder if the angels, as they watch services like this today, where there are lost people, hear the gospel preached, and the preacher be true to the souls of men and women and boys and girls, say one to another, "Now you see that woman? Now you see that girl? Now you see that man?" I personally know they've been to church I don't know how many times. And you know, I've personally seen them sit there and walk right out just like they came. Don't you know? Don't they know? How many people have done that? And how many people are in hell today? Now, I'm not saying that the angels do say that, but I wouldn't be surprised, because they're intelligent beings. And I know one thing, I'm an intelligent being, and I marvel at how many times people can sit under the gospel and walk out just like they came in. And I'm concerned about them. And I love them. You see? I do. It's very serious. Very serious. And it is my responsibility to confront you as an individual head on and say, "Hey, Something's got to change, or else. It's Christ or it's hell. Now, you can like it or you can love it. You can run, but you can't hide it. You can quit going to church. You can quit hearing listening to the gospel. It changes nothing except add to your sin. Not only you're lost, but you get mad when somebody tries to help you. It just keeps mounting up. I've seen them come here and sit. I've stood up here and I've seen them squirm. I've seen them drop their head. I've seen them obviously being dealt with the message. And I've seen them quit coming. Quit coming. Running from God. Well, that's sad. That's sad. Because that doesn't solve the problem. That aggravates the